following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
My friends, this entire earth is going to start shaking. Before too many years, every mountain and every island on this earth will be moved out of their place. Then you skeptics out there, you're going to really begin to know that there is a very real God. For the living Jesus Christ, my friends, will return to this earth in power. In a few moments, I'm going to show you specific events to watch for which will occur just before Christ's return. These major world events will occur and they will affect your own life dramatically. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, when will Christ return? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, I know that most of you have heard for years about Christ's second coming. You're aware that preachers have talked about it. They've cried wolf many times and have set dates that just didn't work out. And a very real Satan the devil has tried to throw dust up in the air. He's tried to confuse you, and he's tried to confuse this entire world about God's great plan. Some thought the end of the world would be in 1000 A.D., and men were waiting on the top of hills and one thing and the other for Christ to come. Well, nothing in the Bible indicated that Christ would come in 1000 A.D., and I'll explain that as we go along. Some thought that falling stars in New England in the 1800s signaled Christ's return. But again, God talks about falling stars and the heavens being shaken in connection with a whole lot of other things. And those other things did not happen in the 1800s. One American religious sect thought that World War I was the sign of Christ's coming. But again, just one world war was not such a sign, and they were way off because they did not understand God's plan. Why are these dates obviously wrong? First notice 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. God inspired Peter to write, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." There's 7 days in the week, so 7,000 years would indicate 7 millennial days. Not 6,000 or 5,000, but 7,000 years, including the millennial rule of Jesus Christ, which will soon begin. My friends, another reason these previous dates and others were wrong is because many prophesied events had simply not yet happened. People were setting dates based on one or two things, but not a whole series of things, and Jesus gave 14 major signs, and we need to watch all 14 that are going to occur before Christ's return. Notice Jesus' own words in Matthew 24. Turn with me to Matthew 24 and verse 3. "Now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus answered, 'Take heed that no one deceives you.'" That's the first thing to watch for, false prophets. "For many will come in my name," not a few, but many false prophets. And frankly, the major number of ministers coming along were to be that way. And Jesus shows that again and again. "Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and will deceive the many," Jesus said. They'll use Jesus' name, but they will deceive many. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." A whole series of things has to happen. "For nation will rise against nation, and then kingdom against kingdom." A different Greek word is used, indicating now groups of nations, world war, and then there will be famines. Lack of food all over, not just in India or Bangladesh or Africa or somewhere, but frankly, right here in North America. There will be famines, there will be disease epidemics, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And those earthquakes are occurring right now, and they're getting worse. And the disease epidemics are beginning to get worse, and the possibility of them is really starting to get worse with the outbreak of hoof and mouth disease in Europe, and, of course, mad cow disease. And those diseases, the scientists tell us, are coming here. It's not a matter of whether, the scientists have said, but when. When they get here. And mad cow disease can be transmitted to human beings, resulting in a horrible death. Those events are starting to take place even as I speak to you. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation, God's true people, and kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. Somewhere on earth are true servants of God. The true church of God is going to preach so powerfully and so effectively that it will be hated by all nations. It will be small. It will be the little flock, Jesus said, not the great mainstream churches that are not hated by all nations, but people look up to them. But somewhere are the true people of God, and they will be hated by all nations. They have to be known to be hated. So they will be doing a powerful work. And then, of course, will be the time when Christ will intervene. And then many will be offended, betray one another, hate one another, and the love of many will wax cold. And then he goes ahead and talks about, as you see, the gospel of the kingdom of God being preached. Then this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. The true gospel of the kingdom, the government of God, to be set up on this earth under Jesus Christ. That message is to be preached, not to convert everybody, but as a witness, so people will know. And they can't say, God, God, why didn't you tell us? He'll say, I did tell you about these things that were to occur. I did preach about my coming kingdom through my servants, and you wouldn't listen. This gospel would be preached as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Picture, my friends, a hydrogen bomb going off in the United States, perhaps under New York City, and a counterattack initiated by the United States or Russia. What would happen? We are now living in a time when this is very, very real. Think about it. Chemical warfare is another reason whereby man could destroy himself. A variety of poison gases now exist, such as VX and sarin, a small drop of which could kill a person instantly. Biological warfare is another way mankind can wipe himself off. And with the recent outbreak of mad cow disease, followed by foot and mouth disease in Britain and Europe, the very real danger of biological warfare is in the headlines. It would take only one teaspoon of anthrax to dissolve the kidneys, the livers, and the lungs of 1 million people. Think about it. That's right, 1 million people. Of course, there are now other possible causes of human annihilation, but these major ones will give you the idea. As a civilization, we are skating on thin ice. Men have always used weapons that are available, and they are going to do it this time as well. And they would destroy humanity unless God intervened. But soon, the great God of heaven, the God that created everything you know, is going to intervene in world affairs. He's going to speed things up and send Jesus Christ back to this earth as King of Kings before it is too late. Think about it. At this point, my friends, I invite you to write or call for a free copy of a very exciting book that we have on Bible prophecy covering these very things. This powerful booklet is entitled 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. It spells out in detail 14 key world events you should watch for. These events tie in directly with Christ's second coming. Pick up the phone now and just ask for this booklet on 14 signs.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5582. That's 1-800-934-5582. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic, when will Christ return? My friends, we were talking about the events leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we were in Matthew chapter 24, for those who turned in late. Turn to Matthew 24, and let's go back to verse 9. I was reading after describing, of course, false prophets and famines, disease epidemics, earthquakes to happen. Then Jesus said, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you, God's true church, wherever it is, you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, betray one another, hate one another, and then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." Many false prophets, a whole wave of false prophets. And because lawlessness, breaking God's law, he's not talking about the traffic law, I think we understand that. They drove ox carts back then, remember. Then lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. So many are going to turn away from God. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. So a gospel, a good news about the coming kingdom of God will be preached to all the nations. Every nation on this earth will at least hear about it as a witness. Not to convert everybody, but as a witness. And then the end will come. And then Jesus says, then there will be an abomination of desolation that will be set up, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Watch for a sign like that. And we know the original one under Antiochus Epiphanes, a couple hundred years before Christ, was a terrible statue of Jupiter Olympus put right in the holy place in God's temple. Something like that is going to happen in Jerusalem, and Jesus says, watch for it. Watch for it in Jerusalem. He who understands, whoever reads, let him understand. So an abomination of desolation is going to be set up in a holy place, no doubt in the city of Jerusalem. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. A type of flight, time of flight is coming. And pray, verse 20, that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. Interesting, he talks about the Sabbath day still being there. Pray that your flight not be on the Sabbath, he tells his people. For then will be great tribulation. Notice, my friends, not some small problem off in some far country, but great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. The greatest single trouble in all the history of the earth. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Human cosmicide, human annihilation would take place, except for God's intervention. And we have to realize that. That's what Jesus Christ said. He says that very clearly right here. Unless those days were shortened, they're coming just ahead of us, every human being would be wiped off this earth. Notice down in verse 30, he said, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And so right after the tribulation comes, as it is described in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And I'll show you later on that every mountain and island will be shaken out of its place. And then they'll see Christ coming, as I described, and the nations will mourn. They won't be happy about Christ coming. They will have been deceived about it, absolutely deceived. But he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable, Jesus tells us, from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and has put forth leaves, then you know that summer is near. My friends, when you see these things beginning to happen, then it's near. Christ's coming isn't here yet, but when all these things start to happen and you see false prophets, disease epidemics, you see, of course, earthquakes beginning to take place. You see drought and famine increasing, not off in Bangladesh or somewhere, but right here and all over the world these things are starting to happen. You'll know it's near at the very doors. So you, he said, verse 33, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled. We are living in the last generation, so we have to understand that. We're living in very exciting times, terrible times, but in another sense, if we understand what God says, exciting times. Now notice the Gospel of Luke. Notice Luke 21 and what Jesus Christ tells us here. Turn with me, follow me to Luke 21, and we'll begin in verse 20. He's been describing these things, same things before, as you see, as you glance up earlier. But he says here in verse 20, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, know that its desolation is near. Then let those in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those that are in the midst of her depart, and let not those in the country enter in. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." That's quite a statement. These are the days when all things that are written may be fulfilled. We are zeroing in on the end of human society as we have known it. And the final prophecies will begin to wrap up as these things come to fruition. "But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people." There's going to be a people, and most of you don't understand that, but those of you who have read our booklet on American Britain, you understand that it's talking about the United States and British descended people, not just the nation calling itself Israel. There's going to be great distress on the land and upon God's people. "And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive to all nations, the great tribulation. And Jerusalem," he's not just speaking in this prophecy about Israel as such, that is the little nation of Israel, but he does speak specifically about that city. "And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles." And once again, the Gentiles are going to take over. And the poor Jewish people over there who've been through so much are once again going to be conquered. "Jerusalem will be conquered by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." That is going to happen. This major event, you're going to be hearing about it. And, of course, you need to watch for it. Jerusalem trampled by Gentiles. And then, of course, we know that the very end is coming very, very quickly at that time. I want you to picture the great city of Jerusalem and how it will be conquered once again. The Jewish people have been through a lot. But one more time, they're going to be conquered. And that specific thing, the conquering of Jerusalem, is to happen yet again in the lifetimes of the vast majority of us living on earth today. Now, the book of Zechariah tells us about what is to happen just before and at the second coming of Christ. So let's turn to Zechariah 14. Turn to Zechariah 14, if you would, at this point. And I'll begin reading in verse 1. "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst," God tells us, and talking here about Israel and Jerusalem. "For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem." It's going to happen within the next several years. "The city will be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity." The Jewish half, no doubt, and every prophecy indicates that, those people having to suffer once again. "But the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Some kind of agreement is going to be reached with them, and the conquering power, which is going to be the power of the European empire we've talked to you so much about. So that's going to happen. "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives." Christ is going to come back literally and stand on that big hill east of Jerusalem, where I have stood a number of times, and a number of you have been there as well. He's going to come back to the Mount of Olives on that city of Jerusalem. And so then he says in verse 9, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth." Christ is going to be king of kings, as the book of Revelation tells us. King over the other kings, who will be the true saints of God on this earth. "And he'll be king over all the earth, and that day it shall be the Lord is one, and his name one." And then it says in verse 16, "It shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem," and of course they all came, virtually representatives of nearly every nation have been fighting Jerusalem, "shall go up from year to year to worship the king." Their whole attitude is going to change. because as Isaiah 9 tells us, the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of God, the true way of God written in their hearts and minds by God's Spirit, finally. God's Spirit's there, and Satan is banished in the coming millennial rule of Christ. They're going to go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of what? Many of you are asking. I grew up in a mainstream church for 19 years of my life, and I kept the general holidays of Christmas and Easter and Halloween and April Fool's Day and so forth that people keep today. I didn't know anything about the Feast of Tabernacles, but the whole world is going to be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles in a few years in Christ's government. And it shall be that whichever of the nations of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. God will get their attention. There will be no rain. And if the family of Egypt do not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Eternal strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So Christ will be on the earth, they'll learn to worship God His way, and the whole society will be totally different when Christ comes. Again, my friends, be sure to call or write us immediately and request your free copy of this very specific and helpful booklet, 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. It will make your daily newspaper and newscast truly come alive. So pick up the phone and call now and just request the booklet on 14 Signs.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5582. That's 1-800-934-5582. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
My friends, as prophetic events begin to speed up, everything around you will change. Everything. For within this generation, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, will return to planet Earth as King of Kings. You need to understand. You need to prepare. You really do. If your eyes are open and if you are willing, you will see event after event occur to bring about the end of man's civilization on this earth. You will be know ahead of time if you get this booklet we're talking about. You'll understand what to watch for. Then will come Tomorrow's World, a glorious new world order under the direct leadership of Jesus Christ and His faithful saints. So prove these biblical truths to yourself. Set your house in order. Be willing to obey your Creator even when it is unpopular to do so. Learn to act on the precious truth God reveals. Notice Jesus' warning to the Apostle John. I'm going to turn back to Revelation now, chapter 6. Here's what Jesus Christ told the Apostle John. He'd given John, of course, the signs or the seals here of the man on the white horse, which pictures false prophets, then the black horse, famine and drought, and then, of course, the disease epidemics, the pale horse, and then the fifth seal is the Great Tribulation, and then, of course, you have the sixth seal, the heavenly signs. Notice in verse 12 now, I looked, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and there are going to be many earthquakes in your future, my friends, but none like this earthquake. This earthquake is truly awesome, as other scriptures reveal. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Every mountain and every island. I said that at the beginning. And that is going to happen just before the return of Christ, when literally the Hawaiian Islands will be just shaken. And Malta and the islands of the Mediterranean Sea will be shaken. And every mountain on earth will be shaken. The entire earth will be shaken. such as it has never been shaken, my friends, by an awesome earthquake that God himself is going to cause to take place to shake mankind to its senses. We have to understand God's purpose in all of this. And so these things are going to happen. Every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." They're not understanding yet. They don't get it. They're afraid of Christ. They've been taught these signs are some bad omen. "For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Yes, mankind is going to be shaken such as he has never been shaken before. Now notice Jesus' instruction in Luke's gospel. Turn to Luke 21, and I'm going to begin reading this time in verse 28. "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." These things ought to be a sign of joy, in a sense, to those who really understand, because we're going to say it's almost over. He's almost here. He's almost here. And so look up. Lift up your heads. And he spoke to them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all fig trees. When they're already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is near. So you likewise, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near." Know that Christ's coming is almost occurring here. "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life." Don't get too involved in this world and the cares of this life, my friends. Think about your purpose and what's happening in world events. And that day come upon you unexpectedly. "For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell in the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Watch world events. Pray with all your hearts. We all need to seek God with our whole being and to prove what he says in his inspired word. These things are real, my friends, so watch and pray and call immediately. Get the help you need. Call for this booklet, 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return, and pray for understanding. Then act on God's truth, my friends. Walk in the light as God gives you the light. Be sure to tune in next week to another powerful Tomorrow's World program. You will be taught and challenged by this exciting program on a topic seldom understood in our modern professing Christian world. And tune in every week as Richard Ames and I give you real meaning behind today's news and the prophecies of the world ahead. See you right here next week.
The informative booklet offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5582. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.